Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
6-8 feet separate us right now. Anytime, any place. Just like Lance Archer.
Hey, what's up? This is Lance coming to you on the Pain Clinic, 1280. Somebody get my guyliner a cigarette.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for May 23rd. Holidays real quick. International Jazz Day, Lucky Penny Day. Happy 33rd birthday to WWE superstar Bray Wyatt. Fiend has a birthday. You wearing Bray Wyatt there?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Not today.
All right. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire, Culver. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater or officiate? Rock State Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock State Roller Derby. Welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man, joined by the four squares of knowledge of the Pain Clinic. We're joined by Danger Boy. Good morning, Danger.
Good morning.
Yeah, okay. And to his right, if you're following us live on Facebook Live, you can see these squares as I speak. Got Furby to the right. How you doing, Furbs?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Just underneath him is Alice,
you mean the only one that does work around here?
Yeah, sorry. The artiste is underneath them. Sorry. Artiste, what's up, buddy?
Good morning.
And DC Dan Cole from...
I don't like this whole video chat from home thing because I can't walk into the studio like 5 minutes late.
No,
I don't like that. I'm always on time for this. That's not good.
Digital world says you got to be on time. It's pretty hard not to be on time in a digital world. You could be walking with your phone doing this.
There are ways.
Okay. But. I like how you shut yourself off when we go to commercial break though. But welcome to the show, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. I do want to start off with a sad note.
I guess I don't need an introduction.
Oh, I said, I did introduce you, brother. I said, DC. I'm sorry. I said from North Carolina, and then I got interrupted. DC Dan Call. DC, thank you.
Thanks for letting me know we're supposed to wear hats today, too.
I know. And me too.
I appreciate the memo.
Yeah, I know. I love how everyone's really close to their cameras today, which is awesome. I think that... No, don't lean back. It's good. It looks great. I think it's awesome to have the floating heads. Whoa! And we can figure out what room you're in, you know, and then, you know, of course, stalk you online as well. But, hey, welcome to the show today. We're here to talk pro wrestling. I want to start before we get into send our condolences to the family of Shad Gaspard. Unfortunately, his terrible thing happened Sunday happened. He got pulled in a riptide out and was drowned, and they didn't find his body, I think, until Wednesday. So rest in peace. The guy we've met on the show was a nice dude, part of Crime Time. And, no one had a bad word to say about him, which I believe because he was just a genuinely nice guy when we were hanging out with him at the Dinosaur. So rest in peace. And hopefully your family's doing. I saw they had a big thing last night on the beach for him. It was pretty cool, all the wrestlers that showed up and stuff. But we had to get past the sad news before we continue on to the happy news. And by the way,
one more thing, Cash. Wanted to mention, too. Reports from this morning, actually, I've seen all over the place. Stardom star Hana Kimura, 22 years old, passed away either last night, this morning. I guess she was definitely dealing with some severe depression. And rest in peace and our condolences to her and her family as well.
You know, I guess it was a big cause of the cyberbullying. So it just goes out to show how important it is in this time of day, especially with what we're going through right now with the COVID-19. You know, just be nice to everybody. Please do everybody a favor.
Yeah, yeah. Use that rule. And what company was she with? Because I just watched. Was it Stardom?
Stardom.
Yeah.
Stardom. But she also, like, she did a few appearances in Ring of Honor in the last couple of years. She used to be in Wrestle One. She trained with Jay Hardy in Wrestle One.
Yeah, she was part of the first ever women's match in New Japan at the Tokyo Dome this past January as well.
I was going to say,
she had a dark match at that MSG show, too.
I just watched this show on Vice TV called Wrestlers, and they did a whole hour on pretty much the wrestlers from Stardom. So I'm sure she was part of that when they were doing it. But it was that's sad. But I also wanted to mention, too, that Chad Gaspard is a hero in death because he saved his son from drowning by pointing in the direction and throwing him in the direction of the people that were trying to save him. Unfortunately, he didn't get away. But, you know, he lived the way he was. And we have two passings, unfortunately, to start the show, unfortunately. But we were going to talk about the world of pro wrestling and try to get past this. We got a pay-per-view from AEW.
Well, and rest in peace, Owen Hart, 21 years ago today.
Oh, my goodness.
So a lot of bad things around right now.
I watched. What'd you think of the Dark Side of the Ring with that? I mean, I had never seen those shots of the broken boards in the ring. Which was pretty shocking, you know, the blood-stained broken boards where he hit.
I think the hardest part for me was seeing the video footage of the clip itself. I know I had seen, like, a picture before, but just seeing how insane that is to think that that's safe enough to rig somebody from the roof of an arena with that. Like, I think the carabiner that holds my keychain is sturdier than that. So that was frustrating, but I thought the show was really good, and I think it definitely brought a little bit of closure in terms of my denial about Owen getting in the Hall of Fame at some point. I think after you hear his son talking about it, his family talking about it, it makes sense, and you gotta respect their wishes on that. But it was a tough watch, but I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I have a little backstory, and I think I told this before a few times. Earlier that week, the show had started in November of 1998, and it was doing gangbusters on the radio here. And Channel 10 had come to us and said, hey, we'd like to interview you guys to talk about the radio show because there's so many people talking about it. And so we went and did this sit-down interview with Channel 10 over Main Street over here. It was really cool. And the bad thing was it was supposed to be that night that they were going to show at the 11 o'clock news that Sunday night. So, of course, what they lead into it with? And I was the only one from the pain clinic at Salvatore's at the garage door that night. It wasn't Salvatore's at the garage door. It was the garage. It was
Maxwell's.
It was Maxwell's, yeah.
Yeah.
I was the only one there from the show watching it. And after that happened, I just felt like terrible pains in my stomach and depressed. And the whole place shut down. And, you know, I mean, and to this day, I still am dumbfounded why they could go on with the show. You know, I'm just, I mean, you know, hindsight's 20/20, as they always say, but, you know, it still makes no sense. The stories you hear, there's a great, someone did a great recap yesterday online of all the different excerpts from books that came out about people that were there at the time. The Rock, Jim Cornette, or Jim Cornette wasn't there, but Vince Russo. All these people were like giving excerpts about what was going on with them when that was going on. And it was really eye-opening and sad and, you know. It just kind of reinvigorated the sadness of it when I watched it this past week. Now I could watch it, but it was just, I remember those Jim Ross moments, where he's like scrambling to say anything. And man, if I had any idea that people, and now people are really giving Kevin Dunn the thumper from this, because Kevin Dunn was the one, and Jim Ross talked about it during this interview where he said, give us an update, 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7. And Jim Ross is sitting there and watching a man just fall to his death in front of him. And, you know, people are working on him. And, you know, Jerry Lawler comes back and, you know, he looked just, you know, shocked beyond belief. And this guy, Kevin Dunn, just wanted updates. You know, it's like, you know, give me an update. You know, we need to do something. You know, so it, I don't know. There's a lot of people online who are like, have been attacking Kevin Dunn since this Dark Side of the Ring episode debuted. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, for me, it was, I'm sorry, DC. For me, it was, I guess it was really the first time that I've even seen anything like that. Like, I had heard what happened with Owen Hart, but this is the first time like that I actually physically got to see any story, hear anything about this. So to me, it was very eye-opening, and I was actually very appalled at how no one got more in trouble for this. Like, how did nothing else come out of this other than just a settlement? And it was very gut-wrenching and difficult to watch and just see the emotion in JR's face as he's trying to come back from that break. And then, you know, he's saying that, you know, Lawler looked like he was a pale ghost when he came back to the set. And it just, it was one of those things where it was like, wow, how did the show go on in this matter? Like, what were they thinking? And how did this not, like, how come more did not come out of this?
I was going to say, my big takeaways from watching that when, and I honestly thought that this was tougher to watch than the Benoit one. This one just didn't sit well with me after seeing all the things. Obviously, I knew the incident that had happened. I knew that, you know, Martha had sued WWE. I never knew that she was countersued by Vince McMahon, which is one of the dirtiest moves you could ever do. And then the whole thing about, you know, stopping the show. It, common sense says you should stop the show. What I never considered until Martha mentioned it, she said, you know, all things aside, stopping it, she goes, at that point, it was a crime scene. Everything should have stopped. Everything should have been isolated.
Yeah, she's right.
And it was unbelievable.
You know, it's another interesting thing is just a couple weeks after that, actually a week after that, we were supposed to meet Bret Hart. They were doing a Legends of Wrestling in Buffalo, and Bret Hart was going to be the big honoree. Stu Hart was going to be there. None of them could make it to the dinner that we went to. We ended up meeting Bruce. I can't remember Danger. Danger, were you there?
Yeah, I was there. I think it was Smith.
Yeah, oh, Smith Hart.
I think we met Smith Hart.
So
oh, boy.
Yeah, and Smith Hart, he talked to us for about an hour or two, and...
did he sell you any autographs?
No, but everyone was, you know, I mean, it was a terrible thing. And Johnny Valentine was there, and we met all these, you know, great classic wrestlers. It was originally supposed to be Stu and Brett were coming in, and that they had to go to St. Louis, they said, to be able to, because it was a crime scene. They did not touch that stuff after the show ended, though. I know it went at least like a week before that they took the ring down and all this stuff, but it's just some of the stuff we saw that it just was really. You know, I'm so happy for Owen Hart's family still continuing on. His son's a lawyer now. You know, I mean, his kids were so little, they didn't know, you know, they didn't know, have any idea. But, you know, it's really, I remember what a tough day it was the next day on Raw, too, when they had to do that show. And people were, you know, just could, you know, that's when Mark Henry came out with a poem. I think that there was a lot of, I mean, if you want to look back at the classic footage, it's out there, but there's and that was a tough one. I mean, you know, it's like losing a couple of wrestlers during the week was pretty tough, but then having to relive that. And I'll tell you one thing, it's a great show. I enjoy Dark Side of the Ring. I don't absolutely agree with all of it 100% of the time, because I think some of the reenactments are kind of silly, and, you know,
I still want to know the whoever that Quebec Nordique was that got attacked, that Dino Bravo story. I know CM Punk tweeted about that too, but I think the show is really good. The one thing I was just going to add with the Owen Hart thing is that I think that was the last wrestling pay-per-view that I ever watched screened out in my living room, and not that anybody should ever do that or whatever, but even that was 21 years ago, and I was in middle school at the time, and I know that like Owen Hart was and still is my favorite wrestler of all time. And for that to happen when you're watching a screened out pay-per-view is the most confusing. I had no idea what was going on or what to believe.
Are you talking about
partially because I was only hearing it?
Are you talking about the little line down the middle where you get the channel, but you couldn't see it, but you could hear it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it was basically like listening to the pay-per-view and you couldn't really see what was going on.
Yeah.
Then like I didn't really believe what was happening. I didn't really know what was happening. And I went to bed that night, and then like I remember the next morning it was early and my dad like called me downstairs and the Today Show was on, and like that's when I like fully learned it happened. And I was just like, I did not want to go to school that day. So not a good memory there. But luckily a few months later started going to Maxwell's and catching all the pay-per-views in completely legal fashion.
Yeah, yes, of course. But, you know, it's funny is that's how I used to watch them, too, for years. We would just watch it because sometimes you could adjust. If you put it on the channel next to you and you adjusted it enough, it would come in on the channel next to the one you were supposed to be on. But on that note, I do want to talk about the AEW pay-per-view. And, I mean, we kind of had a bummer of a segment. So we're going to go to break, come back, talk. I got some sound from Cody Rhodes. And, guys, if you're wondering if AEW is coming back to Rochester, he kind of gives us a little update on it. And we'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
You have 10 seconds. 10. 9.
Listen.
8.
Listen. Listen.
11.
Mr. Moxley, listen to me. You do not call the shots, and now you have made your bed, and Saturday, I'm going to put you to sleep in it.
I know why you didn't accept my challenge last Monday night on Raw. I saw it written all over your face. I saw it in your eyes. You want to know what I saw? Doubt. I saw doubt. Your grit and passion has faded away. It's gone. And what once was grit and passion is now just doubt.
Foot 4, 265 pounds, special, in a locker room full of the absolute best professional wrestlers in the world, you stand out.
I'm honored to share the floor with Iron Mike Tyson. Question I have to ask you, are you going to throw that stupid snake on him? How's that going to turn out for you, my friend?
Whatever I throw at Mike Tyson will take him down. I've promised Lance Archer that he gets first shot at Tyson because he just wants to knock him out for fun. And I'll tell you something, he can do it.
Hey, this is Mike Tyson, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. So I'm guessing Tyson's going to get involved tonight with all the talk that we've got. Wow, you guys switched places under the squares. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. If you're following us, we're on Facebook Live right now. I will say the artist is in the city of Rochester. Danger Boy is in the town of Gates. Furby's in the town of Hilton. And DC Dan Cole is in North Carolina. Flair country. Woo! And I'm back here in the 16th floor of the Five Star Bank building. Welcome back. We're here talking the world of pro wrestling. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. Yeah, I think Mike Tyson is going to be playing a bigger part. And we talk, especially after Cody Rhodes had done a little bit of a press conference yesterday and said that Mike has been with them since the first Double or Nothing. He's been, you know, Mike, and Mike's a wrestling fan. You know that. Who knows what we'll get from him and everything. But I wanted to play a couple sounds from you. First of all, Cody Rhodes did a press conference on Wednesday, and he talked a little bit about Brody Lee. We'll listen to that right now.
It's a very much a proving ground for somebody like Mr. Brody. I he probably will likely not appreciate what I'm going to say, but I will say it. I'm very proud of Brody Lee in a different aspect in a world that people don't see. He's stepped up considerably as a leader. This locker room is very young. And it needs leaders. I always was in locker rooms that had great leaders, and the wrestling etiquette was taught correctly without bullying or anything of that nature, and the respect aspect of why we shake each other's hands every 30 seconds, it's all right there. And Mr. Brody, Sean Spears, two guys who have really brought that to the forefront. But his match is a proving ground. That guy can go. Big Rig can go. And I very much look forward to him and John Moxley. We all of a sudden went from being a very light heavyweight company to the board is now filled. You've got individuals like Wardlow. You've got individuals like Luchasaurus, Mr. Brody, my opponent in Lance. You have these super heavyweights converging, and it's really exciting to see. The former, in your initial question, the Empire Strikes Back.
We don't need to hear that part. I went a little too long with it. I knew I should have edited that shorter, but it was the 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back yesterday. So, what do you guys think? Brody, is this like a very pressured situation for Mr. Brody Lee over at AEW?
First thing I would just follow up with is when I was around Cody when Dynamite was in Corpus Christi back in December. That night before, we talked a little bit about Brody, obviously like contract status, nothing was said at that point, but Cody obviously knew him well from WWE, but at that point was very excited about bringing him in. And one of the things he told me in that was that he really wanted to make sure that Brody was, he wanted him in AEW, but he wanted him to go there first. He didn't want Brody to go show up in Ring of Honor or New Japan or somewhere else first and kind of lose that initial pop. And obviously it sucks that we didn't get that initial pop here in Rochester, but I'm hoping those two end up working a program together at some point, not too far from now. So just following up on that, I know Cody is definitely very excited. How would you not be to have Brody in the company?
Yeah, what do you guys think? Yeah, I mean, do you feel there's a lot of pressure? I mean, and we talked about this a bit last week, too, about how we don't – it's hard to take that belt off John Moxley after he just won it, you know. But where's that leave Brody? I mean, we know Brody Lee can do the – listen, there's going to be a lot of people whose eyes are open to his ability in that ring when these two guys are working tomorrow, because we know from Rochesterians this guy can work, and he's put on some of the – you know, we saw him wrestle so many people coming through town here over years, but I don't think the whole world has seen him yet, really, what he can do, even when he was with the WWE. I mean, all the stuff that he did that was pretty impressive was very early on in the career of the Wyatt family, and then it seemed to get shut down into power moves. What do you guys think? You guys feel there's a lot of pressure on here. What about you, Danger?
I think there's some pressure to go out there and prove doubters wrong, because there's always the people that are going to be like, oh, they're just grabbing ex-WWE guys, and that's going to happen, but they also have to remember that this guy, you know, we know Brody. He's been around. He's wrestled. Him and Moxley have had fantastic matches in Evolve before he ever went to WWE. So there's a little pressure to prove that wrong. There's also the pressure of, I'm not exactly sure why they booked this match so early on, because it is a terrible time to take the belt off Moxley, but you also can't have Brody come in and lose his first major match. So they kind of put themselves into a corner a little bit, so it'll be interesting to see how they get out of it without hurting either guy. And hopefully it's not a schmodge finish, but it probably will be.
Josh, or Furby, pardon me.
Yeah, and going back to what I said last week, too, and I really started to rethink things in talking about how Moxley's on, you know, he's kind of better off on a chase. Well, I never really thought of it from the standpoint that he already is kind of chasing. I mean, Brody obviously took the title from him. Obviously, he's not the named world champion, you know. But Mox is looking to go get that belt back. I was listening to an interview actually last night. I found a clip on YouTube. It was about a 40-minute long interview that Brody did the other day. And it was very interesting to see his insight on everything, you know, leading up from making his debut in AEW, missing out on the Rochester debut, you know, his time with the WWE and his 10-year-long history that he's already had with Mox in previous matches, like Danger had previously pointed out. You know, these two guys have a long-winded history, and I think this is something that, you know, he wants to make all about the present now. And following up on the, is there
added pressure in his first title match, going for this world championship that he's never really had that claim to fame yet with, I think there is some pressure. However, I think he's going to live up to the expectation. And I really do think Mr. Brody Lee comes home with that belt tonight.
DC, what do you think?
I still think that if things weren't the way they currently are, meaning in the midst of this, epidemic and no fans being allowed at shows, I don't think we'd be getting this match. I think this is AEW realizing that it would waste Moxley's run as champion to have him doing all these shows with no fans around. I think it's a perfect situation, a perfect scenario to have a heel champ and a heel faction again. And I think putting the title on Brody would be far more beneficial than having him lose.
I definitely agree. And going back to Cody's press conference from Wednesday, he said going into this, about 90% of the card is what it was supposed to be. So I'm interested to see what the 10% was that wasn't on this card. But if the expectation was for obviously from the get-go, Brody versus Mox, I think going what you're saying, DC, it is a great opportunity for Brody to take this title, because you can really live on that heel heat with no crowd, rather than a guy like Mox, who's a huge fan favorite, trying to get that crowd reaction when there's no crowd. I think it'll definitely evolutionize the Mr. Brody Lee character with the Dark Order and make them more of a heel faction as a whole.
And especially,
it's too bad that they can't have like Uno and Stu there, obviously until the Canadian border opens up. But I think one way or another, the Dark Order has to get involved, and whether that either is the way that they cost Brody the chance and make him still look strong, or that's hopefully what wins him the belt. And that also keeps Moxley strong if he gets screwed over like that. So I certainly don't expect Brody to win clean tonight. I still kind of don't feel like he's going to win, but I obviously hope he does.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's why Press 10 has been getting such a big push. And also, I did see on a Facebook group this past Wednesday, Evil Uno was in Jacksonville. So I don't know how that happened, but I saw fans say that they saw him and he was unmasked, so they could not show photos. But Evil Uno was in Jacksonville.
Okay, we'll see. Well, you know what? Beyond that, Cody, I did ask one question in with Cody, and we'll play that right now.
Okay, great. Thanks, Cody. let's see. We got Richard Jones from Fox Sports Rochester. Any word on the talked about second show in Rochester?
Which they misinterpreted.
Oh, we're going to make it to Rochester. We're going to get there. I really like something that we've done in terms of shows have not just been canceled. Almost every show that we've lost has been postponed. So you'll probably in the next, I'd say 2 weeks, see some new presented dates with potential shows. And I'm hoping, everyone has their own theory and speculation, and everyone's an expert on when fans are going to come back and when they're not going to come back. But I would tend to think sooner than later if we can do it. And maybe there is, a small gathering, and there could be limitations to it all, but Rochester will for sure happen. That was a show we were really, really looking forward to. I particularly wanted to see Brody Lee in Rochester just because I know that's his hometown. So it's not something that's going to get pushed very far on the back burner. The only live event plans that might take further to replace or renew is any international live event plans, because that we're just like everybody else, we're waiting for when the borders will open up and how the borders will open up.
So that was Cody, and on that interpretation, I think maybe we'll get a show sooner than we think than later, maybe a smaller venue with an empty seat every other seat or something. I mean, it seemed like he was he understood the importance of that show. I mean, the funny thing is I sent him about 8 questions, and that was one actually I was asking about the second TNT show that was supposed to show up, not the second time in Rochester, which would have been the first time. But I like that he went with that direction with it, because that was another question that I had sent him as well, was about, you know, thoughts about when, you know, because July 8th was the rescheduled date. And I mean, right now it's going to be June.
Still is as of right now, but that's going to change.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be June in like a week, you know? So, yeah. You know, so, and I mean, and it's, nothing has really changed since then, so.
Well, I know he also said basically that they, like, once you can start having fans, then maybe if it's in a limited capacity, maybe that's when you keep running Daly's Place and you put in 25% fans, something like that. I don't see them going back to touring arenas. I mean, too soon once things open up to arenas. I'm sure they want to, but I would not bank on July 8th in Rochester for sure.
I'll say one thing. It was almost a sellout in Rochester. I mean, it was,
they were really, I know from a few weeks before that I was, at the Dynamite in Cedar Park in Austin, and, their live event coordinator was really, really happy with the pre-sale in Rochester. And that was, like, I loved hearing that too. I assumed that there are people really interested, but that was one of the best free sales that they've had since starting. So
definitely. And that's why I think it stands out a lot to these guys too, about how well it did, you know, that besides the fact being the first New York date, for AEW, which a lot of people were not happy about, you know, they wanted New York City, they wanted Buffalo, but Rochester got it and it did very well. And I know that people every week,
so much complaining about that online, like people like, oh, why wouldn't you come to Albany and stuff? And I was like, in the meantime, I'm living in Texas where everything's like 40 hours apart from each other. Like, it's not that bad to drive from Buffalo to Rochester or something. Like, suck it up.
I agree.
100%. Just a side comment. I don't get that. Like, the cities are so close to each other up here. If it's in Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, Albany, or Binghamton, whatever, like, just go.
And I'm guessing a lot of Buffalo people were coming this direction too, just because how well it did on the presale. But it's good that that it is notched in their brain about that show, because he, you know, all the debuts that would have happened on it and everything. And it's like, if I had talked to him personally, I would have said, you know, maybe you can like do something special like we were going to get, you know, is there a way to, you know, but that would be like forcing the hand of booking or something, you know, but wouldn't want to do that. But I'm going to go to break on that. Talk some more AEW on the flip side. Some, you know, it's interesting. Did you guys catch Austin Theory kind of being pursued by Seth Rollins at the end of Raw? Austin Theory's like, what, 22? He's like a kid. And he's another guy from Evolve, too. He's a guy who, and once again, that show on Vice called Wrestlers, another one I taped, was all about Evolve and Gabe. And Austin Theory was like, I think, 18 at the time when they did it. So it was like, it was pretty cool. But I was like watching that and going, man, this kid's like getting a lot very soon in his career. But he also looks like $1 million. We're going to go to break on that. If you have a comment or a question, 222-1280, star 1280. Listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Yeah, you stand there with that stupid smug smirk. This is just a paycheck to you. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You are quite possibly the most talented person I've ever seen in a wrestling ring. But this isn't the life you wanted. This is the life you were handed. This was your backup plan.
Braun Strowman's track record in handicap matches stinks worse than Duke the Diaper Boy's breath. Two, we are a cohesive fighting unit that knows how to win. Let me quote a little something from the philosopher Sun Tzu. To defeat thine enemy, first destroy his infrastructure. Translation, we're going to make his life a living hell. Hey, hey! We've all had our tough times. Adjusting here to life back home. We've gone through our dark times. And we're not afraid to admit it. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, well then good. It should. But that's our blood. On your hands. And what's only fair is your blood on ours.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Samoa Joe. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
no difference to me. If you tap out, busting out the old Kurt Angle TNA theme. Cause you face down, really, you barely alive. Cause I'm an animal inside, hear me? I think it was Machine Gun Kelly did it. I don't know. I don't remember. But welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, Danger Boy, the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, and Furby and you. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk a little bit about this, that AEW pay-per-view. There's a bunch of other, you know, things going on besides our friend in the main event, but it's hard not to talk about it. But we got the finals of the crown, the inaugural AEW TNT champ. I still have a strange feeling that I think Sting is showing up. Do you guys, anyone have feelers about that? Any, you know, thoughts? Because I see Sting is now available, right, Danger? I think you're muted, Danger. I don't hear. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Say that.
They again. Haven't said what he's going to do or anything like that. There's rumors because of his interactions online with Lance Archer that is going to be in that match, that he's going to do something in the TNT Championship match. But he's available. He's a free agent. He might show up.
I want to mention.
It just sounds like madness. If you've got Arn and Jake and Tyson and Sting, like, I'm fine with just Cody against Lance. Like, I'm excited for just those two to wrestle. I don't know. Maybe you save Sting for an actual TNT episode, but maybe it'll happen tonight.
I want to mention this show I started off with Lance. I don't know if you heard the ID to begin the show. It was actually Lance Hoyt, who he wrestled as an TNA. And he used to use the guy liner. Remember, he used to come out and be like a rock band and stuff. And that's if you listen to what I go back and listen, you'll hear it. But Lance, I remember hanging out with him in Elmira. Lance Hoyt and Awesome Kong, and they kind of stuck JB with us, you know. JB stuck us with them, and so we were just hanging out. Those dudes, nice dude, really good guy. Because I had just
Lance Hoyt's one of the nicest people ever. He was a Wrestle Circus guy, a Texas guy. Yeah. Can't say enough nice things about him. You probably the only problem is if he's making his entrance and. Well, I guess he can't really spit water at the crowd anymore with all this COVID stuff, but just would like throw water bottles all around right near production equipment and electronics and stuff too. But that's really, good. Really good guy.
That's not good. Throw it near electronics.
No.
Well, I saw last time I saw him was when we were in at Ring of Honor in Buffalo, and he was tagging with Davey Boy Jr. there.
Our Elite Squad.
Yeah, they and it was pretty cool. But I remember he had also the first time I think I'd ever seen him was on this Travel Channel show that he was part of, a wrestling organization out of Texas, and I can't remember much about it. But they had one or two shows before they canceled it, and of course we know him from TNA. But I mean, the guy is legit. I mean, he's a great wrestler, big guy. We're gonna get to see some good stuff. But I think, you know, what do you think? I think Cody's gonna come out on top. I mean, I kind of believe after listening to all the promos and everything that what Arn Anderson said, that this is meant for Cody. He has to win this, you know. So I'm kind of excited. It's gonna be a good match. I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view tonight. So
well, if Cody is a good guy and wins the TNT title, then maybe that further sets up a bad guy having the big platinum, as they call it,
the big platinum.
Kind of balances things out more if Brody can win. So I think Cody wins it, but I mean, either way, I don't know. I think I said Lance last week. I'm kind of going back and forth with it. So either way, I think the match is going to be really good.
I think Cody's going to win, but we also had some injuries this past week that kind of changed the card up a little bit.
Three in one night.
Yeah. We lost Britt Baker there as she got landed on, which was not very good. She did not. Nyla Rose kind of landed weird, and she blew her knee out, I think.
Yeah, blew her right knee out. I mean, that's like. If you look back at the clip, like, I think it was Statlander and Cheater kind of carry her over to the corner, and there's nothing Nyla can do about it. I just don't understand why Britt's got her knee up, and, like, you're going to take that impact, like, right on your knee like that of, I don't know. The whole thing was just a weird, weird spot, and hopefully, they haven't confirmed yet that it's ACL, but that's the rumor, is that it's a torn right ACL, and so that, if so, that's a good 6 to 9 months that hopefully is an easy recovery. Hopefully she can still do some segments with Tony Schiavone while wearing a knee brace or whatever and not wrestling.
Because
her character has gotten really good.
She spent an awful lot of time doing non-wrestling promos already. So I think, I don't think that's tougher. Add her to the announce table. I would take four. I don't have a problem with that. Or put her out there just for like the women's matches, you know, or something. But also, we lost Ray Phoenix too. Phoenix landed in the back of his head. I remember seeing that too when everyone was like leaping out of the ring, and it looked like he landed. He got caught, but the upper half went back, and he smashed his head on the ground. I believe he got concussed. I'm not absolutely sure, but you guys, were you watching when that? I mean, when I saw it happen, you can immediately see him. You know, most wrestlers react to what should be the pain, but he was like immediately put his hands behind his head and kind of rolled over.
Yeah, for me, that's as much as it hurts to lose Britt Baker, because I think we're really starting to see the evolution of her character and everything. But me losing Ray Phoenix in this ladder match, that's going to take a big toll on the match itself. I mean, obviously, you still got high flyers like Darby Allin, who I think now is actually probably the favorite to win the match, in my opinion. We'll have to see who this mystery man is. But losing Ray Phoenix really hurts, because he can do a lot of moves. He can do a lot of spots. And before this, he was my favorite to win the ladder match. Now, I go to Darby Allin, you know, up and coming. But just having that injury in such a terrible timing, it's just awful right now. It has to be before. But obviously wish him the best. But that to me, that injury hurts more in the short term than the Britt Baker injury.
Yeah, well, so Joey Janela.
It was another weird, weird spot, too. Because Phoenix goes up, and he hops on the top rope, and then he does his hop to turn around before doing the moonsault while everybody's waiting to catch him. But then he kind of undershoots on that. They don't have time. Like, the whole thing was just sloppy to me. And I thought that going into this, I think Darby, the way they pushed him, I figured the whole time Darby would win it. I think now this helps assure that. Yeah, maybe the mystery guy could do that, but I don't know. I think you're still going to get, if it's Gulak, whoever it is, like, I think you're still going to get enough pop and attention that person doesn't necessarily have to win it, but we'll see. I think there's a bunch of people in the match that don't really have a chance of winning it, but will still perform, and it'll be entertaining for sure. I still think that could easily steal the show.
Well, we got Joey Janela filling in as well, and Joey Janela is nothing to laugh at. I mean, he's pretty good. I
think he's crazy.
He is. He'll definitely fill out. But you did mention Drew Gulak, who, if you didn't, folks didn't know, like a week ago, had probably one of the best matches on SmackDown in quite a long time against Daniel Bryan. And then the next day, they apparently were negotiating a new contract, and then Drew and WWE did not come to a conclusion that either of them liked. So Drew is a free agent now. And I believe me,
an immediate free agent, not a 90-day free agent.
Yeah, and believe me, he is a well worth bringing in. You know, I mean, a guy who, I mean, he's involved. I mean, he's personally trained half the people in that division, you know, the 205 division in WWE, as well as, he's also, an incredible technician and no fly zone, too, you know. So we'll see what happens. But if it's Drew Gulak, that'd be great. I would definitely take that as the mystery partner. So that's one cool thing. And now, apparently, the Stadium Stampede match that's coming up was already recorded last night. I have no idea, but now I have an idea, because we were unsure how they were going to do it. And then we realized after last week, they've got this empty stadium right next door to where they're doing their TV show. So it's like, makes sense. They can go anywhere in that stadium they want. It seems like they like to hang out underneath the uprights for some reason. But they give us, we were just kind of wondering about it last week. Now we have an idea of what's going on with that. That'll be fun, because they've, this might be a produced match, I mean, kind of like some of the Jericho videos, I mean, maybe Lou Ferrigno will show up, who knows. But definitely looking forward to seeing what's going to go on with that. This is a pretty solid card. Sean Spears and Dustin Rhodes. Seemed like it was a throw-on, but that was a week ago, so they had time to, pimp that a bit more.
I loved the new segment that Sean Spears did, try to get the match to go, and then they basically made it a thing right away. I loved that. It was kind of cool to see a different personality finally get more of Sean Spears on TV.
We're going to take a break, because we got one more break to get in before we get out of here. But I will say that I'm excited. Also, the pre-show, we got Private Party versus Best Friends. That ought to be a lot of fun. I'm a huge Orange Cassidy fan. I'm sure I'll have nothing to do with it since he's in that other match. But the Best Friends, I think they've got a connection to Rochester, don't they, Ferb?
Yeah, Trent,
Trent actually lives in Rochester.
Yeah, so now we're just going to go start stalking the phone book. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Pangle League on Fox Sports 1280.
Hi, this is Bobby Roode, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain, baby.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I want to remind everybody this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, so please honor the everybody. Honor every, you know, this is a time to, and also a lot of people want to get out and do like picnics and stuff. Just make sure to keep 6 feet between y'all, you know? Maybe that's why it's been so quiet here today. Now, I apologize if anyone called. I haven't really been watching the phones that well. But I also wanted to mention also, well, there's another thing I wanted to mention. Oh, I can't remember what it is now. Well, welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, the Artiste, and Furby. And we got one last segment before we get out of here. Well, you guys got anything special going on this weekend?
I'm really excited for this pay-per-view. I mean, to be honest, like I thought Revolution was one of the best pay-per-views I've ever watched live. And this one obviously doesn't have the same feel without the crowd aspect. But between Brody being in the main event, all these matches, I love that Statlander still has a match, even though Britt got hurt. Penelope slides in there. Like every match on that card, I'm really looking forward to. I know a lot of people are watching it live. And honestly, even MJF and Jungle Boy, I would not have said this a year ago or maybe even 6 months ago, but that's a potential show stealer as well with those two. It really is. Obviously, we've only seen limited in-ring singles work from both of them so far, but that's the future on display right there. So.
Well, and MJF had that hangnail, so it couldn't really work for a while, you know.
Those are tough.
Yeah.
I mean, paper cuts, too. I mean,
yeah. They'll keep you out for a few weeks. But I will say that AEW did win the ratings war again, and these ratings are still going on, even though the numbers are a little bit lower. They did beat out NXT. NXT had some, I mean, both shows were quality this week. We got to see Karrion Kross come out, have a confrontation, with Tommaso Ciampa. And I can't wait to see that because they're doing that in your house.
How spectacular is that entrance with Kross and Scarlett? That is fantastic. I love it.
It's a lot of fun, and it probably lasts longer than their matches so far. You know, seriously, match goes pretty quick. But
hey, the Undertaker can't wrestle forever. Okay, you got to have somebody to replace.
Someone's got to take the spot.
True. It's interesting. I kind of dig it. I've never really seen this guy before. Now I know he's been on the Indies for a while. How about you, Artiste? Have you seen Karrion Kross or? I don't remember what his other name was.
Killer Kross.
Killer Kross.
I've seen some of his matches in person. I don't think so. Scarlett, I saw a lot of because she used to wrestle in AAW when I was living in Chicago, and then she wrestled at Wrestle Circus as well. And so I'm excited that she's on TV. But Kross, I mean, I've seen a few of his matches before this, and I'm looking forward to watching that with Ciampa as well for sure. But not super, super familiar with him compared to others, I guess.
To me, he looked like Stone Cold Steve Austin with a lot of tattoos. I mean, he had the same kind of shape, you know? He was like a big, strong, bald guy, you know? Which is not a bad thing to have, to going into NXT. I'm looking for... And now, you know, NXT... I don't know if you've been following NXT pretty close, but they broke up the tag team of... what's his name?
Matt Riddle.
Yeah, and now Matt Riddle's taking on his ex-partner, which actually has been pretty good. I've enjoyed that so far. And, it's just they're and also we get to see Drew. What's his name? Used to be I'm terrible with names today. Sorry. I usually have a list in front of me. But a guy used to wrestle Spud, for TNA.
Drake Maverick.
Yeah, so what do you think's going on with that? I mean, was it legit that he got fired, or was that just an angle to create a lot of sympathy for him?
Either way, it looks terrible on the WWE. If you actually are exploiting the fact he was released and you have no plans for him after this, then it's terrible. And if you're not exploiting it, and he went said and went through, said he was released and everything, and you released all those people, and now you're exploiting it, and you're not releasing them, then it looks bad for everyone else. It's a lose-lose for WWE. I have no idea why they're doing it. It tells you how quickly those cuts came, if he was legitimately cut, because he was announced the Wednesday before and then got cut on the Friday. So it's just terrible. I don't know why they're doing it. His matches are great. I've been liking what he's been doing in the ring. And him and Kushida and the guy who I really don't like should have a decent match, but I don't know why they're exploiting it.
I wouldn't doubt if he ends up in the finals, honestly, against Hijo de Fantasma and gets taken away by those conquistadors in the car, and we'll never see him again.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, he's one of JB's guys. You know, so I mean, it shows JB has some power down there in NXT, or I don't know, just throwing it out there. I mean, JB also is a guy.
JB's like commentating 205 Live now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's down there. He's on tour with NXT too. So, you know, he's one of the producers. The time I saw him in Buffalo for 3 seconds, but yeah, he's also I think he had a lot to do with you know, the Boneyard match and a lot of the pre-produced things. So that's JB. That's his expertise, video production and stuff like that. So guys, we're out.
One other recommendation, if you need more JB, the Pluto TV channel for Impact Wrestling. We've been watching a good amount of that in quarantine, all the old like TNA Asylum years and just random old shows. It's fun what you can find on there, and that's totally free. So
I was gonna, you know, it's funny is I've been watching Impact every week, and they always have flashback matches, and it's amazing to see how AJ Styles has changed over the years, and maybe it's more his hair than anything else, from short to long to short. But it's like this last one they had last week was Ric Flair was in his corner as he got a quick win over, I think it was Samoa Joe. So, but we gotta get out of here. I want to thank you, DC. Thank you, Furby. Thank you, Danger. Thank you, Artiste. Got a lot of stuff to talk about next week with the results of this pay-per-view. And we got another pay-per-view, I think, next weekend. Is it next weekend or the weekend after? The weekend after the In Your House AEW
2 weeks, I think. June 7th.
And we got UFC also the 30th. So we got a lot of stuff going on. We'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming, guys.